I would like to welcome you on this discussion forum. It's called Students as a Motivation Force Behind Society. It's held here at Czech Technical University in Prague, and therefore I would like to remember the students in history, so to speak, because at the end of communist era, it was the students who brought about the changes in society and also among with another people, and we should think about this even in 1989 and try to follow this thought or this active participation in society. So, and we would like to discuss what the role of students in today's society, if they held certain ideals that can be lacked either in media or elsewhere, and if they really brought about the changes that may appear maybe later on, because the universities are the centers of education and knowledge, and I guess students are supposed to be like holders of this knowledge of an innovation compared to the rest of society, which has mostly keeps their ways of thinking, and students somehow should bring something new into it. And so let's see what we can tell about it later on, and what's how it is in different countries. And now I would like to give the word to the moderator.
Hello there. My name is Jakub Železný. I'm the moderator of Czech TV and Czech Radio. I'm glad to be here again. Let me welcome to our guests, who are Mr. Miroslav Till, advisor to Civic Democratic Party, which is the major opposition party here in this country, and Mr. Šimon Pánek, who is a director of Humanitarian Society, People in Need, which is one of the most popular, may I say it, influential humanitarian society in Czech Republic. Well, now I will give the floor to Mr. Till, then I will give the floor to Mr. Pánek, and then the floor will be yours, and we hope that you will discuss as much as possible, as powerful as possible, as emotional as possible. And let me of course also welcome head of Czech Technical University, Mr. Professor Jiří Vicany. I'm very glad, Professor, that you are here. Well, we know each other, and we can start. Mr. Till, I will give you the microphone.
Dobrý den, dámy a pánové, přátelé. Já jsem aktér toho dění roku 68, nebo jeden z těch aktérů, a totiž ta zkušenost by mohla mít nějaký význam i pro vás, pro dnešní studenty.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Let me welcome you in our afternoon discussion forum. Let me introduce briefly myself. I am one of the participants of the democratization process that took place in the Czech Republic during the year 1968. According to my experience, this knowledge or this experience from those years could have interesting consequences and could be interesting for you during the discussion.
Společenský pohyb, tak jak bylo v názvu tady toho workshopu zmíněno, vyžaduje dvě věci. Atmosféru, podhoubí, situaci a nositele změn.
The social movement, as it's mentioned in the name of this of today's discussion, always needs a certain atmosphere, certain basis. It means the certain collection of the conditions, and aside that, it also needs a certain amount of the bearers or the holders of the changes.
Obojí bývá nepředvídatelným mixem pocitů, příčin a schopností v kontextu doby.
And both of these influences, I mean the atmosphere and the holders, are usually unforecasted mixture of the feelings, reasons and abilities within the context of time.
Z toho plyne první teze mé úvahy. Společenský pohyb není předem důsledně rozumově anticipovatelný.
And out of that I come to the first thesis of my thinking, that the social movement cannot be anticipated.
Pokud je takto vyslovená teze pravdivá, má logický následek. Procesy změn jsou v průběhu času neopakovatelné.
If the thesis that is defined in such a way is true, then it has a logical consequence. It means the processes of the changes within the time cannot be repeated.
Proto stručně vyložím fenomén pražské, tedy československé studentské reformy 60. let jako specifický případ nositelů změn v atmosféře jejich doby.
Therefore, I will try to explain the phenomena of the Prague or the Czechoslovak student revolt during the 60s as a specific example of the holder of the change holders within the atmosphere of their time.
V nejobecnějším slova smyslu šlo o sondování mezí svobody po porážce polského, československého a hlavně maďarského pokusu o její rozšíření z roku 56.
From the general point of view, that process was basically the trying or the defining of the limits of the freedom after the defense of the Polish, Czechoslovak and especially Hungarian example or Hungarian try to increase the limits of the freedom within these countries.
Nevelká skupina pražského studentstva prošla na studentské poměry bezprecedentně dlouhou cestu od roku 63 do roku 69, na které formovala vlastní program a prosadila vlastní organizační strukturu.
Not a very big group of the Czechoslovak, but it means about 90% of the Prague students come through the very long way, is approximately from the year 1963 up to the year 1969. During that time, the students have prepared and formed their own program, and they were also preparing their own organizational structure.
Program byl obecně zaměřen proti některým restriktivním rysům komunistického režimu, který ovšem sám procházel jistým uvolněním, tedy především proti omezené svobodě veřejného projevu, omezené svobodě cestování a jednotné mládežnické organizaci.
The program was generally oriented against certain restrictive features of the communist regime, but anyway, at that time the communist regime itself came through certain liberalization, we can say. And it was especially in the areas of the, say, public speeches, then in a limited freedom of for the traveling, and in the unified youth organization.
V roce 65 vyústil do požadavku federalizace Československého svazu mládeže a požadavku oponentury komunistické straně Československa.
And that program comes at the year 1965 to the requirement for the federalization of the Czechoslovak Union of Youth, and for the second requirement, and it was the requirement for the opponents against the Communist Party.
Klíčovou osobností tohoto období byl student strojní fakulty Českého vysokého učení technického Jiří Miller, který byl za svou politickou aktivitu vyloučen v roce 66 ze školy a povolán do výkonu vojenské služby.
The key person of that period was a student of the engineering faculty of the Czech Technical University, Mr. Jiří Miller, who was for his political activities refused from the school at the year 1966, and he was forced to participate in the military service.
Kolem jeho obrany se spojila většina tehdejší studentské reprezentace, prostřednictvím studentského tisku vedla vlastní kampaň za stále širší politické požadavky, až v předvečer československého jara 68 zrušila monopol stávající mládežnické organizace a otevřela cestu ke vzniku Svazu studentstva Čech a Moravy.
The case of the Mr. Miller actually unified the student movement in the Czech Republic, or the student representation, and through the student newspapers, the group has started his own campaign for the wider political requirements, and just shortly before the Czechoslovak Spring 1968, the monopoly of the existing youth organization was a Czech youth union. That monopoly was cancelled, and then the way to the creation of the society of the students of the Czech and Moravia was established.
Tato část studentské reprezentace překvapivě zvítězila. Její klíčové požadavky byly alespoň na čas naplněny.
Means there was a victory of this part of the student representation at that time, and its key requirements were fulfilled, at least for certain time.
Prohra, která potkala celou Československou republiku v následku sovětské vojenské invaze, zasáhla pochopitelně i tuto reprezentaci.
Of course, the fans which came after the Soviet army invasion at the year 1968 influenced also the student representation in this student movement.
Hnutí, které předtím postupně dobývalo půdu vlastní svobody, rozšiřovalo svůj vliv ve společnosti a stalo se jedním ze znamení doby, mělo náhle radikálně změnit své cíle na obranu dosud dosaženého za stáleho reálného rizika ztráty i té omezené státní suverenity.
And of course, the movement that step by step reaches the certain improvements of their own freedom, there increased the influence in the society, and it became one of the signs of the time, should suddenly, in a radical way, change their targets or the aims for the protection of the goals that were already reached. But there was still a real risk that they will even lose the freedoms that they already get before.
V tomto kontextu pak veřejné sebeupálení dvou studentů v lednu a únoru 69 je vlastně bolestně adekvátní reakcí na velikost ohrožení základních hodnot.
Within that context, then public self-firing of the two students at January and February 1968 was adequate reaction for the size of the dangers that the basic values of the society will be destroyed.
V normalizační atmosféře strachu a ztrát o další zbytky občanských svobod nevznikla později už nová generace studentské politiky.
And of course, within the so-called normalization atmosphere of the fear and loss of the further residues of the society freedoms, the new generation of the students politics was not created.
Nijak tedy neudiví, že část původní studentské reprezentace nyní už v postavení disidentské opozice doma i v emigraci vstoupila do nového zápasu o univerzálnější hodnoty svobody a demokracie a že v něm většinou vytrvala nebo musela vytrvat až do roku 89.
And therefore we cannot be surprised that the part of the original student representation at that time already in the position of the dissident opposition or underground opposition at home within the country as well as during the emigration, they took part in the new fight for the more universal values of the freedom and the democracy, and most of them they stayed on this position till the year 1989.
Ze studentské zkušenosti 60. let a dlouhé, i když některak intenzivní spolupráce s ostatními reprezentanty nespokojených skupin se nakonec v rámci Charty 77 profilovali někteří reprezentanti demokratických politických stran a tím i vlád Československé a později České republiky po roce 89.
And of course the student experience from the 60s and the long as well as not very intensive cooperation with other representatives of the unsatisfied groups within the frame of the Charta 77, some of the representatives of the democratic political parties and Czechoslovak governments and the governments of the Czechoslovak Republic as well as Czech Republic after the year 1989 comes from this group of the people.
Cesta začínající ve studentském hnutí, pokračující organizovaným odporem doma i v emigraci a vrcholící například mezinárodní reprezentací České republiky předsednictvím Rady bezpečnosti Organizace spojených národů v době našeho nestálého členství v roce 1993 nebo ročním předsednictvím Valného shromáždění Organizace spojených národů v roce 2002 snad může inspirovat i některé z dnešní generace studentů.
The way that started in the student movement, then it continued by the organized opposition either at home or in emigration, and that comes to the top through the international representation of the Czech Republic, through the some agencies of the United Nations, like the Security Council, during our membership at the year 1993, and by the 1 year chairmanship of the General Assembly of the United Nations at the year 2001 could probably inspire also some of the present time generations of the students.
Doufám, že jsem vás příliš nezdržel touto exkurzí do minulosti.
I hope sincerely that I didn't take too much of your time by my this excursion to the history of the student movement in this country.
Thank you very much, Mr. Thiel. Thank you for your historical excursion. And now I'll give the microphone and the floor to Mr. Panek, who is also a former student leader from 1989. But I think that his topic will be slightly different. Am I right?
Let's see. Good afternoon. My name is Szymon Panek, and I was invited most probably because I'm from the next generation of the student leaders, which basically started to organize themselves at the end of 80s, 87, 88. And in 89, we established a kind of an illegal structure through the mainly Prague universities. The structure was a net of the people which we trust each other, and through that structure we were planning to disseminate different information, support our colleagues which were fired from the schools because of taking part on the demonstrations, and the basically first big public action which the Stuha, which is a ribbon, but in the same time Studentské hnutí, students' movement, that was the name of the structure. The first bigger event which we organized was on 17th of November 89, which is for the Czech Republic important day, when the in the beginning of the Second War, one of the Czech university students was shot dead by the Nazis during the demonstration. So we planned to organize a basically anti-communist or anti-regime meeting on the 17th of November 89, and surprisingly, it was our first and the last demonstration which we organized, because after that the strike started and society really broadly supported activity of students and the groups of dissidents, and communist regime collapsed basically. So all our active period was something like 3 months of this structure, which is in fact quite fortune history. Back to the original question, I don't want to talk much about the past, you can ask later. It was kind of a fascinating time, of course, to be a member of the negotiating team with the communist government, to see how confused they are, how unprepared they were at the time, how fast the regime is collapsing day by day. But it's up to you to ask if you are interested. But let me to try to say a few words and answer if I think that the students are the moving or motivating or creative force in the history. I think they are not, in fact. And or if they were sometimes, they are less and less now, because the society, it's faster, more complicated. Typically, society in Europe, it's more individualistic than it was ever before. But on the other hand, the students are definitely closer to be innovating or motivating or moving part of the society. I'm not saying student movements, but the students than others, because I think that there is a floor for quite a lot of things which you could try to do, you could tackle, you could go in. And if you want to do it, if you want to take part in a different movements which could be oriented towards the social issues, towards the democracy in the world, because there are still few countries which are not democratic, and some of them even still communistic after 15 years after the fall of communism. There is a big discrepancy or disparity or injustice in the world, because if you have a look of and the people living in the extreme poverty, which is around 1 billion people in the world, and us having more than enough money for our lives. So this is also the issue, I think, which should bother you, and which the young people could or should try to do something about. But do it now, because in 10 years you will get fat, tired, you will change yourself to the money-making oriented machines, you will pay your loans, you will have kids, you will get married, someone divorced even in the meantime, you know. So if you want to do something, if you want to try to influence the things, because most of the modern society is about the influence. It could go through money, it could go through politics, it could go through media, it could go through big campaigns. You probably, some of you saw the Life Aid or Make Poverty History campaign, which is this year a topic of the big network of NGOs, mainly in EU member states. So I would say try to do it, because it is a very unique experience to try to influence something, to try to join the movement which could be against the violence, on animals. It could be the movement trying to help the people in the poorest countries. It could be the movement which is oriented on environmental issues. But I would say that it is kind of an obligation of the students, mainly university students, to be against the recent systems or societies, recent system of the power and so on, because you will be included anyway to these systems later on, and you will join them and you will build your government systems and build your economies and societies later on. The last chance to be radical, to be provocative, to be critical, you have basically now. Because and the society is expecting such a things from you. Because being 40 years old, whatever, critic of everything, it is kind of funny, you know. And no one basically will listen to you. We have few of the people like this in Czech, which are very nice. Some of them coming from the anti-communist circles. They really did a lot of work in the past, but they are still critical in the same way to everyone, everything, and they are kind of funny, because but if the students are radical, if the students are saying, no, we don't want our government to do this, we don't want this system of the division of power, division of property, this kind of the expenditures from the for the military machinery, expenditures for whatever. I think you are the one from whom society is expecting to be against the usual things, because you will anyway, and I know it very good on myself personally. Well, I am with NGO, which is giving me quite big floor, but still I am already the part of the establishment, even being an NGO person. So if you want to be anti-establishment, you should do it now and catch it until you will be 25, because later will be late. But one thing, think if the issue which you are fighting for, working, discussing, supporting, if the issue is really worth to do. Because there is a lot of things, a lot of issues which are in fact not a real problem, which are in fact not that important, which are kind of artificial issues, artificial questions, artificial problems. So I would say be radical, but think for what you are radical, because otherwise you can misuse your energy, your time, your courage, which you still have. And you will have less and less courage year by year, because you will know more about the things, you will be more careful, you will be more catch in the system of whatever, employment, loan, obligations, and your courage will go down like this most of your life. So if you want to do something, do it now.
Thank you, Shimon. Thank you very much. I'm sure you're right, and I just want to make a little comment that we have in our country not only 40 years old people who are against something, we have older people who are against something, and they seem to be quite funny sometimes and somehow. Well, maybe Czech students knew who I'm talking about. But. Okay, now the floor is yours, dear friends and colleagues. It's up to you. I hope that there will be another emotional discuteurs from Netherlands, yeah, or from Denmark, or from Italy. It's up to you. Who will start? I think that Delft University must start, because it's one of the most active university I've ever seen. Even I know even you, but you're very active. So Martin, you're Martin.
Yes.
Am I right? Okay.
Well, thanks for the introduction. I'm Martin Hillen from Delft University of Technology, and I'll try to start the discussion. You said that the issue should be worth to be radical about. I think that's the problem. Most of the students don't Well, they think most of the issues aren't worth fighting about. So they're kind of lazy nowadays. I see it in the Netherlands, and I discussed it with Mads from Denmark, and, well, it's the same in your country. The students which are here, those are the active students, so... Well, but I don't know how to motivate my colleague students, so... Maybe you know, maybe someone else knows. So...
Well, it's definitely difficult because you or we, or the students in our country as well, basically we have everything what we need. We don't have any problems in our lives. Everything is settled, controlled. Probably the best way how to motivate the people is to grab their hand and take them somewhere when they are... when they are faced to something which could emotionally move them. It's easy to say it like this, difficult to do it, but regarding the issue of poverty, for example, and for the Czech society, it is very new theme, like the sub-Saharan Africa, least developed countries, the people living in extreme poverty. Our experience is that if we take anyone from the government, from the universities, from the students, if we are able to take these people to really difficult regions, for example, in Africa, they are so much touched by the reality, by the emotion, by the experience from what they see, what they watch, what they smell, what they really realized, what does it mean, that then it's much easier to get them on the board and get them motivated. The question of motivation is crucial for NGO sector as well, because we can't offer any good salary, so the part of the motivation of the people is, or part of the reason is that the people are motivated to work with us, whatever, in Afghanistan, around the world, in Czech. But that's probably the best way. I know that the people are lazy, that they want to go to the club or maximum to the sea, but if you are able to take them to ecological side, which is really bad, or kick them to go to India, to Africa, let them to face the real problems, maybe take them to some of the places where the military spends hundreds of billions of dollars, so they might be touched by that. And it is also the question of leadership. I think the Europe, it's in the leadership crisis now. Not only the top politicians, but even among ourselves or yourselves, there is not enough leaders which are able to stand up and say, well, let's go, let's do this, let's try that. And it is also partly the culture of the not to be too visible, not to be too ambitious, not to be too proactive, because it's not the fashion to be proactive among the young people, definitely, you know, if the fashion is to be cool. And be cool means that you don't care about most of the things. So it is a complicated issue, definitely.
Maybe the Western students are too much established, like you just said, and... Well, I spoke to some Eastern European students. They are much more emotional about things, much more motivated. But I don't see too many of them right now. That's too bad. Okay.
Oh, from you, Martin?
Yeah.
Okay. Just give the microphone to the colleague before you. Yeah. Yes. Thanks.
Thank you. my name is Rolf. I'm from Aalborg University too. In the Danish debate recently, there has been a lot of focus on the time that students use to complete their studies, which the current government is by all means trying to reduce, so people get through their studies as fast as possible and are likely to complete their university studies in 5 years. And this in combination with the fact that most of the universities that you see, especially in Europe, are beginning to make campus areas where you have the students living and studying and basically spending all the time. I think you're providing a mini society where the students live throughout their study time, where they and they don't get integrated into the rest of the society and see the problems that they should be involved in, should experience. And I think maybe it's a problem that you focus so much on getting students through the educational process and putting a lot of knowledge that is related directly to their studies, but they lack some kind of experience with life and the problems that are in the societies where they live actually. I don't know if I'm the only one with that point of view, but maybe someone has something to say about it. Thanks.
Jenom krátkou poznámku.
Just a short remark.
Není podle mě možné, protože prostě informace přicházejí ze světa i do kampusu a lidé to neprožívají jenom ve studiu, ale jsou v rodině a v jiných vztazích.
Speak about the separation of the campuses from the say, general society in that as a trend in the Western Europe. We can hardly speak about the total isolation or the total separation, because still you are the part of the families. You have the access to the information sources. It means you can find the information that you need. You are not completely, separated from the society.
A nejsem si úplně jistý, jestli debata o motivaci k jakémukoliv cíli je debata na místě, protože jde o vlastní rozhodnutí a vlastní motivaci a ty ostatní se buď přidají, nebo dělají to své, nebo je necháváme, aby si svobodně dělali to své.
I'm not quite sure if we should speak always about the motivation of other people, because according to my experience, it's purely individual and the personal decision. I mean, this is a decision of everybody, of every person, how he will behave within the social environment, what he is going to fight for and things like that. But this is a very individual, personal decision.
My jsme se už v těch 60. letech na základě těch prvních sociologických průzkumů, které byly tady povoleny, přesvědčili, že těch lidí, kteří jsou tak či onak aktivně, stejně pár procent do 10%.
And we have found even during the 60s that there were certain results of some sociological researches that told us that the percentage of the person who would like to be active, who would like to fight against the establishment, against the existing government, that percentage is very, very low.
Hledejte individuálně každý svoji cestu.
Yeah, it means my recommendation is try to find your own way individually.
Okay, I think I would like to somehow agree with you on that the motivation comes from within everyone, that it's, I don't know if it is really important to force some motivation on someone to do something, because this motivation is, you motivate someone else, like you are convincing him what to do, and I think that the so to speak, power of students or the people that want to change something comes from themselves, that they find out some problem and try to solve it. And I think in the students' ear, the people or the students are mostly learning how they would behave later on during their life. So it's not like the problem that there should be some big issue, but they can learn how to solve their smaller problems, like with dormitory, with school. It doesn't have to be such a great success, but they learn how to behave later on, like, so to speak, some kind of attitude to the world that they can carry on probably with them in the later life. And this is, I think, that motivation force that can be told of students.
Well, it's true that waiting for others to be motivated around and then start to do something, it doesn't work. It might happen that quite a lot of your colleagues will laugh on the things what you do, or will comment it and basically try to de-evaluate it or devaluate it what you are doing by saying, well, that's see them, they are taking care about environment or about the racism issues or about the poverty somewhere in Africa. And it's happening to every one of us which are active, let's say, or used to be and still are active among the society. It's good not to listen to that and go and do what do you want, what do you trust that it's worth to do. And sooner or later you will find out that basically the people who are thinking, they understand that this is the value and that it has the sense to do it. So sometimes it might be difficult seeing the lot of people around you with this cool altitude, kind of a devaluating its any activity except the school and some way how to make some money. But I think, and from my personal opinion, just wait some time and you will see that there is more people which are in fact understanding that it is a good thing and join the queue. And but in the beginning it's difficult, of course.
Another question or another comment? Thank you.
I'm Christian from Delft University of Technology. I think there is a problem. The problem is there is no real problem. So that's why there is no real student activity. If you see the some kind of revolution in the Eastern European countries in 1989, it was such a huge problem that everyone wants to join. If you're talking about poverty in Africa, it still is a huge problem, but not everybody is affected with that because we don't see it on the street. So, of course, we have to go our own way. But to make such kind of demonstrations like there were in 1989 in the Eastern European countries, that's impossible. We will never manage that.
Does it mean that you think that at the present time there are no real problems to be solved, no problems to be changed or moved by student society or students like some big group?
There are a lot of problems in the world. They are large enough and they are really real problems. But I don't think these problems do affect all students, all other people in the country in such a way that there is a broad support in the population of a country for solution of the problem.
I understand. Well, maybe it means that there are some problems which we don't know about them. Maybe some new problems, some new challenges will appear. It reminds me a little bit, I don't know if you know a very famous book written 10 or 13 years ago by Francis Fukuyama, a very famous American sociologist and philosopher, and it was The End of History. And now he changed his mind very much. Now he written a new book, A World According to Fukuyama, and he said, I was not right, because I thought 13 years ago that there will be no other new affairs, that history is at its end, because there are no communist regimes in Europe, everything in the world goes in the right way, and suddenly he recognized that it's not so. Maybe it means that we will have to wait for, if you think that there are no problems or no challenges at that time. But maybe Shimon could comment these issues, because I'm sure that there is a lot of issues all around the world. But maybe the question is, can we or can you, young people, influence to things in Africa or in former Soviet Union, in the places which Shimon knows very well?
Well, yeah. Jakub, sorry, I would not comment it now, but I'll ask you one question. Would you like to live in the society which is completely settled, okay, rich, like you are living now? And that's the one option, but you will not have any real struggles, any real problems, any real topics to fight for. Or you can maybe wake up sometime from now in a collapsing state with poverty, with political problems, increased violence against the minorities, whatever, and then you will have a lot of real problems to fight for in your life. And what's the bigger value to have a chance to live through some really difficult time, but have a real motivation to fight against that, like in a Central Eastern Europe, or to live in the society which is fine. I don't know personally. I would say that the experience which we lived through in a communism and end of the communism and the things. It's really something which I'm really happy that I had a chance to live through that. On the other hand, I would say that I'm quite happy that we don't have to go through that again, or that it's solved. And now in our society, it's rushing, and it is rushing to be as much similar as your society as possible. So, in fact, we are rushing to the stage in which you are, to be in so fine situation that there will be no real problems to fight for inside the country.
I think you wanted to say something, and then you.
I think what we are all discussing is a lack of involvement within the broad mass of students, and especially in Denmark, it's very much so. We are also talking about that it's a personal responsibility for the individual to make a commitment and to take a stance and to have an opinion, basically, about the issues that are facing both in your local society but also globally. What I was talking about before is that with the structures that we provide the students and the whole package, you go to your lectures, then you just go 10 meters away and you're in your own little apartment. You can go to the fitness, to the gym, right next to your studies. You can go to the bar right next to your studies. You have all your friends among your colleagues at the university. You live your own little life and you don't get involved and integrated into the society. And I know it's a personal responsibility, but I also think that you have a responsibility when you design the structures that you put the students into. And altering these structures could maybe provide the students with a chance to open their eyes, basically, because of even in our own societies, there is a problem with accessibility for disabled people, or some. Of course, there's a lot of problems to solve still, even though they're maybe not on quite the massive scale they have been earlier. Thanks.
Denmark, Aalborg University, of course. We're quite a lot. No, actually, I'd like to just follow up on Rolf as well, because I'm in the negotiation with our minister at the moment, and we are just negotiating fully, and that's actually why we don't act as much as we could do, from my point of view. We're there now because of the students' organization's work throughout decades about being a part of the established society. So now we are an interest organization instead of a movement, as you also talked about, Simon, before. And thereby we can't reflect and we can't act about society as we should have done, in my point of view. Actually, we could. I couldn't see myself as the Student Union of Denmark organizing a demonstration against the Danish activities in Iraq, or the new foreign policy, which actually conflicts with the human rights. So that way we are a little too established. But that was not my question, by the way. My question rather is, you're leading a revolution at the time. You're actually leading a whole country, Czechoslovakia, into a new area. But where did the people go afterwards? The main people, Mr. Miller, you. I mean, why didn't you get into to the office? I mean, to the government, the new government. That's normally what happens after the revolution.
I think it was a very good question. Maybe it means that you know our political reality, because it was a real good question, I think. But maybe Mr. Till will not agree completely, because I think that there were few political or student leaders from 68 later, 20 years later, or in government, or in diplomacy, or in very high positions. I think that Mr. Kavan, who was Mr. Kovanda, who is a representative in NATO. You can comment it, Mr. Till, if you want.
Netrapte se s problémy, které nemáte.
Don't be afraid about the problems that you don't have, actually.
Někdy nejde o velké problémy. To není důležité.
Sometimes we are not speaking about those, say, great, enormous problems. This is not so important.
Hlad ve světě nebo čínská nesvoboda jsou jistě velké problémy, ale my k ním nemáme klíč.
For example, hungering the world or the freedom of the China people, these are definitely the great problems where we can hardly find a key to solve the problem.
To, co je zajímavé a vlastně podstatou jako toho vztahu ke společnosti, je přiměřená citlivost k tomu, co jí bude v budoucnosti formovat.
The basic issue to the relation of the people to the society is the adequate sensitivity to the processes in the society that could or will influence the development of the society in the future.
A tam na velikosti jakoby globálním toho problému nezáleží, záleží na kvalitě.
And in this case, there is no need to solve just the great problems. It means the size of the problem is not important, but the quality of the problem is important.
Proto jsou vlny časové i intenzity toho dění, a proto jsem řekl, že 20 let tady chybělo jakékoliv studentské hnutí, a není to nic podivného.
And there are certain processes or the certain intensities and frequencies of the intensities of the processes within the society. As for example, as I mentioned, there were total absence of the any student movement for nearly 20 years in this country, and actually nothing very serious happened.
Hledali jiné skupiny a jiní reprezentanti jiné cesty, a jednu z těch forem našli konkrétně třeba v té chartě 77.
And during that time, I mean the, that time of the absence of the student movement, other groups of the people were trying to find another ways to the freedom, to solve the problems. And one of the results of that movement was the establishment of the famous move, famous group of the people, Charta 77. Yeah.
A ještě poslední poznámku k té atmosféře citlivosti. Samozřejmě patří dobré školy a dobrý učitelé.
And what I would like to make as a last remark or last note is that to that atmosphere of the sensitivity is always connected with the good, well-educated people.
A to si nemůžete koupit, na to musíte mít štěstí.
You can hardly buy this, you can just work on it and you can be so happy to reach it.
I think there was another question coded in your question, why the student leaders don't take their responsibility and don't take the power. Maybe this question seems to be funny or simple, but I want to hear an answer from you, Shimon.
That bloody word responsibility, you know. The question is personal, of course. I was 21 and something when the communism fall offered the chair in the parliament immediately at the end of the strikes, and I refused because I basically... And there were a few reasons. One was that I really had feeling that I'm too young to start to be a career politician. The second reason was that I just fall in love with a very nice girl and we plan to go into India and other places because the freedom came and the borders were open. And the third reason was that I had in mind already in that time that I would like to do a crisis journalism, which then turned to the People in Need Society. And I was thinking at the time that I might join the politics later, after I will complete the school, I will travel around a little bit. But then, a few years later, the politic game in Czech started to be much more, let's say, standardized. So the only way was to go through some of the political parties and to do all these trades inside the party and to go step by step on a career in the party to really trade your votes in the inside party elections and so on. So I basically misused my chance to enter the high politics as a well-known face, and 5-6 years later, I find out that I have to basically agree on the rules which started to control the political scene, and that was not for me simply. So, the only chance when I could step in without the being, you know, screwed up, let's say, by the all the things which are often happening in the politics, I missed. And also since 92, we established with a few friends this NGO, which is, I think, doing kind of a politics in terms of the public things inside the Czech and outside the Czech as well. And I think it is, for some certain extent, influencing the Czech foreign policy, influencing the society here, plus doing quite a lot of very concrete material things in a development and relief aid as well. So for me it is a part of the public involvement, even if I'm not a member of party or if I'm not in the highest politics. Because you have to have your typical character to go very high in the politics. And I think that I wouldn't be, let's say, happy to be there. So that's my personal decision. And I agree that there is a part of the responsibility which I have, because I was one of the faces of the strike in 89, and I maybe did not fulfill it completely by taking some of the political positions. It's true, but on the other hand, what to do?
But anyway, I must tell you, my young friends, that Shimon's involvement or influence into Czech foreign politics is very positive, because his NGO is really one of the most popular, most known. And I must tell you that this NGO does a really excellent job all around the world. It sounds like a phrase, but it's really, really true. So I think it's very, very nice work. But anyway, let me just remember few names from 1990, just after the revolution. I think there were few young students, young Dinsbier, Wild, Bartuška. I think they were in parliament, but they disappear very, very quickly. Maybe for similar reasons as you. But they tried it, and they maybe thought it's not for them. I don't know.
Marek Benda, some of them are still in politics. Marek Benda is one.
Martin Mejstřík is a senator. Yes, it's true.
Our colleagues Marek Benda, Martin Mejstřík are the very respected members of parliament. There is Dana Bérová, now the ministry. She was the clerk, financial clerk of the Central Strike Committee. Now she's the minister for the information technologies. There is Jan Vidím, who is the head of the security,
defense committee
of the parliament. Of the parliament. So there is few people, but the main politics are definitely not in the hands of the dissidents or the student leaders.
Thank you.
Another question. 1, 2, 3, please, if possible. The young man in the red T-shirt.
No, hello. So yeah, I'm Carlos from Brussels, Belgium, but I would like to speak more as my origin, which is from Greece. I'm Greek. And to me, what is very important is, I think the lack of political interest of the people in society is the reason why students don't act in society. For example, in Greece, every student, or a lot of them, are involved in political youths. And every time there is some discussion about student things, it always gets political, and they just start about a whole discussion about society. It's not good, because they don't get forth on the topics they are discussing, but they have a general feeling of what society is and what they could do to contribute to society. Whether in Belgium, there's no such thing. No one's interested in politics, even young people or even older. So I have my neighbors, for example, they don't care about who is going to be the mayor of their city or who is going to represent them at the parliament. They just have a list, they just take, yeah, I'll cross 5 names, I like this guy, his face is beautiful, I will go for him. And to me, it's that the problem. People don't think about what they would like their society to be. And to me, it's impossible students to think that if their parents don't think that way too. I don't know, it's a big high level speak, but I don't know, what do you think about that?
They're happy with their society.
Yeah.
I think it's like I already told it, we are happy with our society, so there's no need. So they don't care. They only care if something's going wrong. And actually, there is nothing.
And I agree with Mr. Till that, you just,
to summarize your point, it's when there is a problem, students will demonstrate, will make a revolution.
It was yours, I think.
I just want to
add, yes, of course,
a small comment. In fact, you say they're happy with their society, but the problem is I hear a lot of people complaining every day about a lot of things, but nothing goes out the small private room, so they speak about everything, they complain, and then it doesn't go out of the house, it doesn't come in society, and that's also why I do not totally agree that people are content with their society.
Another question from you, or just if you want, Mr. Interpreter wants just to say something.
I could take the part in a very interesting discussion. I think we could come back to the what was mentioned by Mr. Panek, and that this is the leadership. I mean, within the environment of the stable establishment, when everything is fixed, everything is working, everything is properly doing more or less, then it becomes the more important the role of the leadership. I mean, really good person that could identify the problem, that could describe the problem, because definitely among each group of the people there are some people that are thinking maybe, okay, that poverty is maybe the problem, but they don't care so much. They are somewhere between. At the moment, the real good person as a leader will come and say, look, we should do something about it, then maybe some of them will follow, yeah? Because not everybody could be the leader, but if there be the good leader, that there could, he could interest a group of people and they could start to do something. This is my point of view. Thank you.
Shimon, you wanted to comment also, so Shimon, please.
Yeah, well, in fact, in the good times, we need the weak leaders because we don't want the politicians to interfere so much in our lives if the things go well. That's what I am quite happy that in the bad times, we need probably stronger leaders. But I agree that if a real problem will appear inside our country, so your country, so in Europe, then there will be some critical mass of the students which will stand up and do something. But that's not what we are talking about. We are talking about kind of a feeling of pity, kind of feeling even of a small, whatever, shame or losing, that the students are not active now, that they just live their lives, and this component of the university life of the students is missing. And basically, it's not enough to go to school and then to go to gym and then to go to bar. And I think we are all talking about something which will, let's say, irritate our emotions or inspire our emotions on what we can join together sometimes. We can live through the experience of a joint effort, joint energy, voluntary work towards something. And that's what we are talking, I think, a little bit. I completely agree that if there will be a real problem, that the students will play again the very good role. But there is a feeling of losing something or not getting what we expect. Sometimes it could go up to the very bizarre situations. I remember that I was in 1990, I think, in Rome on some conference, and someone realized that I was one of the student strike leaders and told me, let's go to the Roma University, there is a student occupation strike as well. And we went to the Roma University, and there were hundreds of laughing, enjoying, drinking, smoking students because of the food was bad, or something like that. And I was completely, you know, shocked, trying to discuss with them, why are you striking for such a this size of issue, which is not worth to that? Be happy that you have your school. So the opinion could be completely different. And I think that strike in Roma basically happened because the students would like to do something together, would like to try to influence something, would like to have some issues which are tempting, some challenges, let's say. The question of challenges and facing the challenges is also one of the very important things among the educated people which are young, because I think a certain percentage of us, probably I think that at least part of you are the same, they would like to face the challenges in the life. And if there are no challenges, or no real challenges, then, you know, we are thinking how to find them, what to do, which is partly artificial. We have to find them either outside or say, well, our lives are fine, so we can't push ourselves to the situation to have the real challenge inside the country or inside the society if it's not here. That's the reality.
So, I would like to comment a little bit also on the questions that were here backwards, like about the missing of leaders. Like, it seems that lots of you mentioned that in Europe there is a lack of leader of whatever kind, that people just don't see any prospect in inventing something new, or I heard that the people protest usually when there is some problem that they have to solve immediately. Like, if they are in the communist era, there was one big common problem, therefore there were such changes in whole society. But here, maybe, I don't know if there is no big problem, but maybe there are some lots of small problems no one cannot name it, so to speak. So if there will be someone who, let's say, who has some aspiration to be a leader or has some new thought, he cannot convince the others, because they don't say, okay, while you are talking, I don't know what you mean. What I'm heading to is that, like, the current society, the established society, always tells you, okay, this is fine society, be happy with that, and then you say, okay, there are no problems that we have to solve. But to me, that's the basic behavior of the system, of the society, that it has to convince you that you are okay, that you live in the best society as you can, and why you complain, why you are not happy if you have food, if you have shelter, if you have lots of fun. So, but it seems that the students or whoever would like to do something other, maybe. Maybe the society, even if you get the idea, slowly, like, discourages you to, you know, to realize that, like, let's say, okay, I have some idea to help some people, but then you think, okay, I need some people, I need some money, I need some support, some media presentation, and that's the whole bunch of things that you have to do. And I think that puts on everyone, like, the need of great endurance. Like, if you have an idea, you have to work for it several years, several half life, let's say, and I think this is quite discouraging. I don't know what are the other comments, but you can say what you want.
Okay. You wanted to comment on this issue? Or if you have another question, this young gentleman. 5 minutes break you want, yes? You agree in general? Will you wait with your question? You will have the first question after the break, okay? Fine, thank you. So 5 minutes break for coffee and for water. Well, dear friends, let's discuss for another, let's say, 30 minutes, 35 minutes. It's up to you, of course, only. 32 minutes. Okay, fine, no problem. It's 1602. It means 1634, we believe, because the weather now it's quite good. And the area around here is really beautiful. The hill here, the Petrine Hill, if you know. I was born there, down this hill. This is my area. And I live on the next hill. So from my window, I can see this hill. So this is really very beautiful. We can talk about it for a few minutes. No, I'm joking, of course. You have the first question or the first comment on the second part of our discussion. Please.
Okay. Alistair Wood, University of Southampton, United Kingdom. During my time at university, the Students' Union have organised buses to take people up to London to protest twice. One of the issues was student tuition fees, and the other issue was the war in Iraq. And both times they've taken about 200 people up to London, and then about 150 people have gone shopping, and about 50 people have taken part in the protest. I was wondering whether the panel have any views whether this is because the students aren't bothered about tuition fees or the war in Iraq, or is it because they don't believe that mass protest is the way forward of putting your point of view?
Because they know that there are good shopping opportunities in London, probably. Well, do you want to comment on it, Shimon?
Maybe you can say a few words on behalf of the Czech president, Jakub, because he will tell you something about the protests and public demonstrations and influencing and so on. He had just 4 or 5 days ago another kind of statement that everything, basically everything, except the political parties, it's a misusing of the public scene for illegitimate lobbying. He criticized any public, basically, or civil society action, including NGOs, Life Aid, everything. So,
Shimon, our president
created a new world, a new neologism, which is egoism. NGOism, which he thinks that it's something like communism, let's say. For him, it's NGOism. He's, of course, a very well-educated man and very honorable man anyway, but some of his opinions, and I'm afraid that majority of his opinions in last times are really, really very, very strange. And everything what you will do will be for him absolutely, absolutely unbelievable. I don't know if you have heard him sometimes, but he has a very, very specific way of speaking. He is a professor of economical school, and he will teach economy again. So sometimes you can listen to him. His opinions on the civic society are really, really very, very nice. Well, but it's it was just underlined. But it is about the issue that there are some politicians who thinks that everything what stands outside, let's say, standard political structures, standard parties, is something strange, something unlegitimate, unnormal. Yes.
But back to the political. Sorry to bother you with our internal issues, but it's quite important for us. So. But back to the public protest. I think that 75% of people went shopping. If it would be 50%, I would say, what you can expect, you know, because people use the chance to go to London and, you know, they don't care much, and at least the buses were full, you know, and which is also not bad, and and media can say that the full buses of students went to London, you know. It is partly true, because it's very difficult to influence the high politics through the protests and through whatever, any different ways of lobbying or influencing, or lobbying in a good way, I mean. Because in democracy there is so many different interests which are trying to influence the policy or politics, that the politicians should be very careful to get influenced or to be easily influenced. But on the other hand, I am not the fan of the public protests much, because it's somehow not my cup of tea, let's say, to go and shout the things. Maybe because I spent quite a long time on the demonstrations against the communists, so at that time it was very natural for me. But now I would be quite hesitant to go to the streets but on the other hand, I think it is sometimes very influential. Let's take the issue of the World Bank and International Monetary Fund. There were a chain of the quite violent and radical protests against the sessions of the World Bank and IMF, including Prague, Seattle, Roma. And when it happened in Prague, for example, people in need was not included in this public protest, because we had a feeling that it's too much, that it's violent, that's often dogmatic, and so on. In the same time, we are a member of the international network, which is called Eurostep and Concord, which is criticizing IMF and World Bank for the same thing as these street protests did as well. So basically the position is same, but the instruments are different. And now, 5 years later, because it was in Prague, 2001, I think, or something like that, I must say that I think that these public protests, including Seattle, Roma, Prague, did play extremely big role pushing the IMF and World Bank for a critical review of their policy, mainly towards the developing countries. And that all this era of Wolfenson, it was the boss of the World Bank, really was under the pressure of the public through the public protests. So I think that in some specific cases, even if we might not agree with the way how the protests are done, with the violence, with other things, in fact, they played a role and they pushed the World Bank and IMF to change partly their policy. So sometimes it is worth. It takes time. You can't see results immediately. But still, I think it played some role.
Maybe it's necessary to notice that I think that only a minor part of these demonstrators in Prague during the session of IMF were trying to shop in Prague shopping centers. They really demonstrate very hard. Well, of course, if you want to comment something.
Kolegová zkušenost. Je možné uchopit také jako z jiného konce. Zkusme to. Je to klasický příklad toho, kam to hnutí jít nemůže.
Let's take this experience from other side, from other point of view. This is an example where the movement should not come.
Naše zkušenost říká, že každý establishment, a u nás to byl komunistický establishment, umí debatovat jen o těchto otázkách.
And our experience says us that each establishment, and in a case of the Czech Republic, that was the communist establishment, is able to discuss only about these questions, about these problems.
Ale to, co zaujme, nemůžou být peníze, nemůžou to být ekonomické otázky. To jsou obecnější otázky, které mají jakýsi vztah k svobodě, kvalitě demokracie, k těm věcem, které, i když mnohdy jako malé příklady, ukazují k těmto problémům.
But what can really attract the people are the, say, more broader questions like freedom and things like that, that could really attract the people. But of course, there are the consequences between these bigger problems to the small one, smaller problems I mentioned before.
Je to možná trošku krajní jako poloha, ale právě to trvání na oboru, který není zneužitelný, k té nekonečné a nikdy nerozhodnutelné debatě o ekonomických otázkách, je ta síla, která pak zaujme tu společnost.
But discussing these say broad questions or the big problems that have certain relation to the economy, these are the issues that could attract the society, that could attract people and involve them in the process.
Takže když jsem někdy v druhé polovině 90. let zaslechl, že se na Karlově univerzitě protestuje proti nějakým stipendiím nebo něčemu takovému, tak jsem se opravdu lekl.
And when I heard during the second half of the 90s that there was a demonstration at the Charles University about some amount of the stipendia for the students, I was really afraid at that time.
A to neznamená, že to samosprávy nemají řešit. To je technicko samosprávní otázka a sama samospráva je velký a zaznamenání hodný problém.
It doesn't mean that the management of the university should not solve the problem, because this is the problem that has to be solved.
Takže, no, to je jenom poznámka k tomu.
Just short remark from my side.
Thank you. Another question or another comment? Yes, I've forgotten you, I'm sorry. I've forgotten Italy. Are you from Italy? Yes, I remember you from the first discussion. I remember your very, very emotional notice emotional. From the... It was very beautiful. Beautiful, but emotional. It's
I
positive.
He's more emotional than me.
You're right. You're definitely right. Okay, please.
We spoke a lot about this students' movement. In the 60s and the 70s, there were other aims, other problems, and other organization. The students in that age knew what they wanted, knew how to organize. Nowadays, we shouldn't use the same structure because the problems are quite different. First of all, students, you always, the feeling I have is that all the people that are here think that students are not interested, that they have such a wonderful life, that they have the car, they have the mobile. This is not true. Students have different problems that are increasing because of this kind of society. When you said that you were in Rome, Simon, and you went to see the occupation, you found people smoking and drinking, just to say, it means that people are using the whole structure that in the 60s were used to fight politicians just to solve other problems, to solve psychological problems. So if we will continue to use this kind of structure nowadays to change the political European field, we won't get in any good direction, because they will use this structure just to solve other kind of problems. And then you even said before that the fashion is not to care. Students are intelligent, students are present. In Italy they care a lot, but the problem is that they haven't any kind of structure to face the problem, to analyze things. They don't know how to read a newspaper. They don't know which kind of newspaper. So we should try to be a little bit to calm down when we think that we are the best students that came here and the other students don't care. Because I think that these problems that students are trying to solve using the whole structure as the manifestation, going there just to know people, are the same problems that these students in here are having. Taking the microphone just to show I mean, I have this feeling that they know that they had someone that knew. But this is not the point. We are not here to solve our psychological problems knowing that we are quite good and we understood the problem. I didn't hear from the beginning of this meeting anything, nothing that was concretely linked to a certain kind of solution coming from other universities. I just found people that are quite prepared, that are very nice, but no one of them is here to, with a practical idea that is not copying the ancient methods. We are just speaking because we like to speak. This is dangerous. These problems have to be solved first. Then we can speak about doing something together. And the last thing is that the other engineer before said that we should find our own way. This is wonderful, and it's one of the most beautiful part of the New Age philosophy. But finding our new own way means only to show ourselves, to get realized in the society. We have to build a unique Europe altogether. We are not here solving, because the problems that each nation has, each one is speaking about their problems. I can feel from your speech that you, of course, because of your history, are quite linked to the communist thing, always fighting. You are, I mean, quite fresh and new in Europe. You have a lot of energy and you want to organize. But first, solve this kind of problem, then we can speak about something altogether. Otherwise, we won't get anywhere just complaining about our students, complaining about our governments, without any real new, fresh idea to solve problems that are new. Our problems have never been in this society before. So let's find another way of thinking. Let's move completely the direction when we speak about doing something together. Because I think here there is a lot of confusion.
Fine. Another comment or another question? If there are no further questions, it means that I will ask Mr. Till and Mr. Panek for, let's say, 1 minute last word, if they want. Mr. Till, I'll ask you just for a few words at the conclusion of our meeting, if possible.
To je mi líto, že nejsem s to jakoby prohlédnout tu budoucnost této generace. Moje doporučení je střežit si jako v maximální možné míře otevřenost k tomu, co přichází.
I am afraid I am not capable, I am not able to see the future of your generation, how will development come through in the future, but my recommendation for you is keep your openness and keep your sensitivity to the social processes.
Být těmi, kdo poměřují jaksi osobní morálkou to, co se děje v té společnosti. Není to něco jiného, není to něco vnějšího. Hnutí není to, co se děje nezávisle na nás. Má z nás součást toho, čím jsme my sami. A to je ta materie, z které je stvořeno, a ta poctivost, z které je uděláno, nakonec rozhoduje o jeho úspěchu.
And try to be sensitive enough to the processes within the society, and it gives you the truthfulness
in the relation to the society development, and it will enable you to influence somehow the development.
Okay, thank you. Shimon, please, your last words, if possible.
Have a good stay in Prague for the next 2 days. I think I speak a lot today. I told what I wanted, so that's my last words. Enjoy the Prague for the next 2 days.
Thank you very much. And the last words are new, please.
Okay. I think that this discussion raised some interesting question, maybe. I have the feeling that we didn't came to any conclusion, but as far as this meeting of universities is the first one, or 01, we can call that. This can be also some kind of a try to establish some kind of structure, how to discuss some problems that we may find, or later on we can find, which was one of the problems you discussed here, that how to realize or and tell the problems that we can find, even if someone thinks that he is living in the best society he can. There obviously should be some problems. And I would like to thank you all that you participated in this session, and I think that according to me the nice comment was from Mr. Tell that we should look into ourselves and try to show what we know or what we find out, and it should be from ourselves and our motivation, and if we follow that, we hopefully will be happy with that. Thank you all.
Well, thank you very much again. Thank you, Mr. Till. Thank you, Shimon. Thank you, Pavel. Thank you all. Goodbye.